Well, praise God. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I have been challenged and blessed and inspired to sing these hymns together and to hear God's word expounded and testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives and the thought of the living faith that Christ is expecting in your life and mine today. Praise God for that. I was blessed and inspired. Brother May mentioned that we need revival, and we do, starting with me. I need it in my life, in my home, in my congregation, in my community. We need the reviving powers of God. It has been said that if we're not careful, the living faith of the dead is going to become the dead faith of the living. And we don't want that to happen, and neither does God. He wants that faith that our forefathers had to continue being active and alive and living within us. Our brother made mention of breakfast with Christ. Appreciated that. Jesus says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. There at supper. And we praise God for that this morning. We're going to share about fathers this morning. I asked Brother Nathan when he asked me if they had a thought, and I didn't realize when I took this assignment that it was going to be Father's Day. And he said, well, we'd be glad to hear what you have to say about that. Last year, a year ago today, we were with Brother Ben Esch there in South Dakota and shared to the fathers there. That was 1 year ago today. Now, it has been said so often that when Mother's Day comes around, there's a lot of sermons and talk about expressing honor and appreciation for your mother. But when it comes to Father's Day, there's so much warning and caution and instruction given to fathers what kind of fathers they ought to be. So I appreciated that advice, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to you children and young people, mostly, but even you older people have fathers too. And my father no longer lives. He's going now three and a half years. But I appreciate all that he has taught me. I appreciate the testimony of this young man here this morning for what God has done. I appreciated that verse in Isaiah. That's a powerful verse that was spoken by Hezekiah when he was going to die. And, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God. And God heard his prayer and told Isaiah to go back in. And he's going to give him another 15 years to live. And after he did that, and I have an idea that was some of the problem in Hezekiah's life, that he did not share with his sons, and if you'd read the rest of that story, it bears that out, like he thought he should have done. And after God told him he's going to live, he said those words, "The father to the children shall make known thy truths." We appreciate the order of our Creator, our God. Our God is a wonderful God. He's active, He's real, He's living. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of your lives here this morning. And you're not just sort of wound up like a top and put out here and say, there you go, make the best of life. I hope it works out for you. But our God is intrinsically interested in your life and in my life. And He has plans, He has purposes and intents for us this morning. And it's not by accident or circumstances that we have fathers and father roles. That's a divine institution and plan of our good God. Indeed it is. And we're grateful for that, especially in the society we find ourselves living today. We're thankful for the Christian home. That's the oldest institution there is. And God created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. Male and female, Jesus says, created He them there in the garden. And then He bless them with children, and that's a divine order of our great God. And there is something that has often been said about fathers, that they portray an image of God to their children. And that's a challenge for each of us as fathers, or in my case, grandfathers. I have 27 grandchildren and one great-grandchild. To portray to those after me the image of our God, our Father which art in heaven. He's so precious. He's so real. And it's such a blessing and a responsibility and a challenge to be the father and the grandfather to our children and grandchildren that God wants us to be. Well, the one brother here read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. If you'd turn, that's where we're going to turn here this morning. But we're going to catch the first three verses before chapter 4, because chapter 4 is to you fathers. And we're grateful to God that He has order, that He has divine principles in His Word that is for our good. And not only just for our good, but it's for our eternal value. Indeed, we are thankful to God. And this chapter starts out in verse 1 with the word children. And we had a nice number of children up here in these first two rows a while ago. And children, you have a very special place here this morning. And God has a message for you, children. Just like your brother taught you on the message of perseverance and perfection, God has a plan. He has an intent and a purpose for you. And when we learn about our God, when we know our God, when we have the knowledge of God, when we understand how our God thinks and comprehend what His plan and will is for our lives, it is such a blessing in every aspect of our life, even as children. Does not the book of Proverbs say even a child is known by his doings, whether they be pure or not? I have noticed, raising 7 children, that when a child is properly disciplined, he will be a happy, content child. And one of the indications of that is they will sing. Especially if you as parents, which I know you do, teach your children to sing. There is a blessing in that. And I think we're losing a little bit of that with the electronic world in which we live today. There is no electronic gadget that will ever take the place of parents teaching and singing with your children. That's such a blessing. And I remember many of my children down in the sandbox, out on the tractor, wherever you could hear them singing, the top of their voice. Why? Because their heart was free. That's why. But a child that is not disciplined has a certain sense of guilt over it, and it's not free the way God intended it to be. The message here for children this morning is to obey your parents in the Lord. Do you hear that, children? That's God's will for your life, to be obedient to daddy and to mother. Now, this is Father's Day, but we're going to include mothers as well. We're going to include both of them here this morning. Obeying your parents is a fundamental principle of God's will for the little people and the in-between people. It has been said that sometimes we have a lot of children's stories and talks and direction for the little children, and then we have a lot for the young people as well. But there's a group in between there that often is missed. Those 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds there coming into adolescence and adulthood, they're too big to be little people and they're too little to be big people. But they are in a very important time in their life. And I don't think we should miss that. And we should include instruction to them as well. And regardless of your age this morning, you are a child of your parents. So this word children here is not limited to a certain age. No, just the little people or just the young people. But to all of us, God's will is that for the best of your interests, both physically, both on the earth and in the world to come, is to be obedient to your father and your mother. To obey them. To listen to what they have for you to say. It's for your eternal good. It says in the Lord, obey them in the Lord. And if you have a godly father, which some do not. Some do not have the blessing. Many in the world today do not have godly parents. Some in the world today don't even know who their father is on this Father's Day. But for those of you whom I would probably guess here this morning, in the Lord is as you understand your great Creator, your God, and your family and your parents, and as you grow older and older, to obey them in the Lord is a very direct command of God for you, but it has such a blessing for your life. Indeed it does. For this is right. There's a lot of things that aren't right, but this is right. Many people do things that is not right, but this is one thing you can do that is right. The Bible says this is right. Indeed it is. And I think it's in Colossians, it says it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Think of that, children and young people. As you relate to your father and mother in the areas that they ask you to do, you are pleasing the God of creation, sitting in the majesty of His power and His throne and looking with keen interest into your hearts and mind and lives. It's pleasing to Him when I obey father and mother. But let's always remember, the words of Scripture always mean the opposite just as well. It's not pleasing when I disobey my father and my mother. And God is not a God that is made of stone or wood. He is a God that has feelings. God is a God that has so keen of interest in you that the Bible says in Noah's time when men rebelled and were only evil continually in their hearts, that it grieved God at His heart. God was saddened. And it was grief to the Creator's heart when His people on earth disobeyed Him. And children, just always remember that. It is grievance to the heart of your Father in heaven when you disobey father and mother. The Bible also says there's great rejoicing in heaven when a sinner, like this young lady this morning gave her testimony, when a sinner returns, it says there's great rejoicing in heaven. So our God up there is very much affected by how we live. And He's interested in your life and mine. So children and young people, remember, always, always obey your parents. Numbers 2. Honor thy father and mother. That's probably the primary part we want to emphasize here this morning. To honor your father, not only on Father's Day, but always. Sure, you can take advantage of this. Just like you gave your father a card this morning, or maybe a little gift, or maybe you called him on the phone. I had some calls this morning. I had some cards this morning. And they're blessed. Indeed, they honor. They are. To honor your father and your mother. That's what we want to think about this morning. Well, let's remember this principle first. Whenever you honor your father and your mother, you honor God. It's an honor to your Creator when you honor your father and your mother. Now, here again, some of you might be sitting here and not have the most idealistic set of parents. But the Bible doesn't say honor those who are only ideal parents. It says you honor your father and your mother irregardless of who they are, and maybe not because of what they are, but maybe because of what God would want them to be. And one way that can come to pass in their life is by you giving them the due honor that God has asked you to do. To honor your father is to honor your God. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor is a word that's often spoke of in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. It talks about honoring those who are over you in the Lord. It talks about honoring widows who are widows indeed. It talks about honor those who labor in the Word, especially in Word and doctrine, with double honor. Do you ever wonder how you can give double honor to your ministers? I'd like you to just think of this morning. Give double honor to your father and mother. Now you say, how can we give double honor? Well, here's what that verse means over in Timothy when it says, give double honor to those who are over you in the Lord who minister the word and doctrine to you. The elders that rule among you. It says, count them worthy of double honor. Number one, you are to honor them because of their position. And number two, you give them double honor or additional honor because of their faithfulness in that position. All those that God has placed in our life, whether they be school teachers, parents, elders, whether they be policemen, whoever they may be, is a position of honor that we need to respect with dignity and honor and look up to them. But some of them people don't do well in their position of honor. In fact, they abuse their position and they become proud and they become arrogant and hard-hearted and they don't labor well. It says there that elder who labors well in the word and doctrine is to be counted worthy of double honor. So if you have a faithful father and mother, you owe them double honor this morning. I want to think about that here this morning. It says it's the first commandment with promise. What does that mean? Well, this is taken from Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. We have a lot of teaching today that the law is no longer, and they go to Galatians and a lot of Apostle Paul's writing and say the law is no more. Well, I think we need to remember that Jesus did not say, I come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And while it's true, the ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Christ, God's moral law is stronger in the New Testament than it is the Old Testament. For example, thou shalt not commit adultery is the moral law in the Old Testament. Jesus said, if a man even looks on a woman, he commits adultery. It's stronger and more in place, the moral law of God. Yes, indeed it is. While it's true, we don't circumcise anymore and we don't go through all those sacrifices. That ceremonial law is complete and fulfilled to bring us to the position of Christ. So that's what he's quoting here. It's the first commandment with promise. What does the word promise mean? It means it's a pledge. God is pledging something to you, children, when you honor your father and your mother. You have a warranty or a guarantee from God for his blessing on your life when you do that. That's what this is saying. We have warranties today on products that we buy. Sometimes if you buy a product at Walmart, they'll say to you, what's extended warranty? In fact, I bought a tape player this week at Walmart for Brother Marlon. Brother Mose knows Marlon and a couple of them there. He goes through them things all the time. We're always buying him tape players, and I bought him another this week. And the cashier said, do you want extended warranty? And I always say no. And I said, hey, how much is that? She says, $4. I said, I'll take it. So at least we know we won't have to buy him another for 2 years. That's a warranty. That means if you pay that $4, and in 2 years, they will replace that thing free of cost if it fails to operate. This promise of God is much greater than a warranty from Walmart. I want you to know that. It's a lot better and longer than 2 years. But it's a pledge of the divine God that created you in heaven, that when I honor my father and mother, I am under the umbrella of God's blessing and protection. And there's not a more blessed place to be, young people, children, and all of us, than to be under that umbrella of God's protection. Let's also remember, when we dishonor our parents, we place ourselves out from underneath that umbrella of God's protection and blessing. And we become vulnerable to the issues in our life. And we're on a dangerous path. And we have broken that pledge that God has made with us. We have violated God's promise of blessing and protection when we disobey our father and our mother. And sometimes it's difficult to obey father and mother. Sometimes it seems unreasonable. Sometimes it seems they are inconsistent. Sometimes it seems it's not fair. And I realize there can be ungodly fathers and mothers would ask you to do ungodly things, and we're not talking about that this morning. That is a situation sometime. Maybe if your father tells you to go to the store and buy cigarettes, maybe you have a conscientious feeling against doing that. We had a problem with a young man who was converted in our congregation with that. And he struggled with that for quite a while. But when we obey and honor our father and our mother, we're under the protection of our eternal Father in heaven. So we honor God, our Creator, when we honor also our father and our mother. Understanding and obeying this God-given principle of honoring our parents is an essential part of laying a lasting and sure foundation for your life in time to come. It's a foundation for children and young people, for them to look up with respect. Now, our brother was in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. I love that chapter. Many years ago, I committed that chapter to memory. I don't think I could say it all this morning, but there is a verse down along there, and I don't think Brother Ed got to that verse. It says, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That's what honoring your father is to revere your parents. We gave them reverence. Now, it says they verily for a few days chasing us after their pleasure. But he's talking there about God giving us chastisement. But it says, he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. When we receive the chastening of our parents in a right way, as you grow older, children and youth, learn to honor your father and mother in the fear of God. And that will come naturally as you grow older and you begin to comprehend more about your great God. When your intelligence begins to be influenced by truth from God and Christ and His Word, it opens to you God's glorious power for your life. And you learn to honor your father and mother in the Lord. When God-fearing parents have godly children who love and honor and obey their parents with dignity and respect, it presents the most pleasant picture one can behold. Look at that. A daddy and a mother in the fear of God. Little children like olive plants, singing together, worshiping together, living together, working together. I tell you, brothers and sisters, them children, when father says something, they do it. They do it with joy. And they're eager and they love it. It's the most beautiful picture one can behold. There could be some things wrong with that picture. But if that one principle is in place, it's still a very beautiful picture. And if that thing is not in place in that picture, though there's many things right about that picture, there's something drastically wrong with that picture. Did you get all that? I think you did. When a father and a mother of the family has children who love and obey them, there might be other areas of needs in their lives, but there is one sure foundation that is beautiful in that picture. And a father or mother might have a lot of right teachings of Scripture in order in their home, but if their children do not love and respect and honor them, there's something, even though everything else might be very much in place in that picture, there's something very wrong with that picture. Very, very wrong. Obedience is how you can honor your father and your mother, especially you little children. The essence and object of obedience is to love your parents. Now, you know and I know it's not hard to obey someone you truly love, is it? Of course not. If you truly love somebody, it's easy. It's a joy. It's a delight to obey them. But when we don't love someone, when there is strain, when there is animosity, and then there is resentment, it comes hard. But the object of obedience is to be loving your father and your mother. Obedience then will be natural, joyful, and fulfilling. It's right, it's well-pleasing to God, and it's a promise that you can depend on for your life. However, remember, children, when you disobey your parents, the opposite is also just as true. Listen to Proverbs, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Again, "My son, forsake not the law of thy mother." Don't forget it. Follow their example. The Bible says there, tie that instructions, young man, around your neck. That's the kind of necktie that God will honor. Indeed it will. The instruction of your father and your mother. Listen to what they teach you. Follow their godly examples. Some things is hard when you're little, when you're growing up. Some things is difficult, and you get those lazy streaks, and you don't want to do it. And it seems like, why do I always have to do this? And when are we ever going to get over this? Or when's it going to be better? Well, that's a part of growing up. You're human, and that's part of human nature. But let that human nature be developed by God in right ways of God's divine principles, and you will be surprised how happy and joyful and fulfilled you will be as a child, a young person, or a young whatever it is. Listening to your father and mother's example and the truth they teach into your hearts is one of the most beautiful ways to honor your father and your mother. Another, probably, maybe even a greater way to honor your father and your mother is to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's like we heard his testimony this morning. God bless you, sister, for that. John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Remember that young person, if you're at the age of accountability, there is not a joy greater than your father and your mother who has, through God, and they have co-created you as your father and your mother, and you're part of them. There's not a greater joy you can bless your parents' heart than to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ in your youth. But remember, the opposite is just as true. There's nothing more devastating to your father and your mother than when you turn from the Savior and you take, like the prodigal son, your way out into the world of sin. There's probably nothing you can do that will hurt and grieve daddy and mother more than that. So one of the most blessed ways to honor your father and your mother is to let Jesus Christ become your Savior and cleanse you from sin and exercise faith in His shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins and set you on your way rejoicing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest joy any father or mother that brings children into this world can possibly have. That is, if they are godly parents. Love your father and your mother dearly. Learn to cherish your parents. Sometimes that's more difficult to do with those we live with every day. Sometimes it's easier to cherish our visits to Uncle So-and-so or to Aunt So-and-so or to Grandma or to another family. Why? Because it's not the same old routine of life. And, we just feel like maybe we're better treated there or whatever it might be. But learn young in life, young people and children, to cherish with fond admiration your father and your mother. It's such a blessing when children do not want to leave home and want to stay at home. It's such a joy. And the time will come when they will receive married partners and they will have to leave, but it's such a joy to get back home again. That's how it ought to be. That's how it should be. I have a 32-year-old daughter living at home. Brother Jeremiah from Honduras was in our home last evening. And he asked, "Joanna, what's the Lord have for your life?" And her answer was, "I am very content and happy and fulfilled to live here with my father and my mother." That's beautiful. And you young girls and boys, see these little notes are from her. I don't really deserve them. But even the married children just love to come home. It needs to be that way. There's something out of God's order when children can't wait to get out of home. There's something not right about that picture. And I'm not saying that they're all the same, because they're not. They're different. And some like to tour foreign lands better than others, and others like to stay at home. And learn to cherish with great admiration in the fear of the Lord your father and your mother. That's one of the best ways you can honor them. Indeed it is. When we dishonor father and mother, it's a rejection and a violation to God's eternal will for our lives. Well, let's look at the word honor. What does this word mean? Who can tell me what the Greek word is for honor? Anybody know? Well, I wouldn't know neither if I didn't look it up. It's time. T-I-M-E. Maybe not every time it's used in the King James Version, but time. It takes time to honor something or someone. It takes time to honor God. It involves time to honor your father and your mother. Indeed, it does. But the word means to esteem in veneration, always with dignity and respect. To venerate your parents, to lift them up, to honor them, to esteem them with dignity and respect, always. And it's not always easy to do that. Never be ashamed of your father and your mother. That's one way you can honor them. I remember as an unconverted young man, I was ashamed to walk with my parents after I started becoming conscious of what people think about me. As an unconverted young man, I'd rather just walk back a little bit from them. I was ashamed, as our brother said, who do we identify with? I was ashamed to identify with them until I was born again and converted. And the Lord, He changed that around. Never be ashamed to identify with your father and with your mother. Maybe they do some shameful things, especially if they are not Christians. And I'm not saying you have to accompany them in everything they do. But at the same time, giving due recognition to your parents is a God divine design and order. It's a principle of God for you. Always talk kindly to your father and your mother. That's a way you can honor them. We want to look at some practical ways to honor father and mother. Some little ways, maybe more than just a note or a Father's Day card. Talk kindly to your father and your mother. They're never the old lady or the old man. No way. That's disrespectful. That's not God's will, to call your father the old man and your mother the old lady. No. It's my father, my mother, my mommy, my dad, however, whatever term you use, papa. Words of endearment. Words are powerful. Words of affirmation are building blocks for relationships that God designed. Tell your father and your mother you love them. Tell them that. And not just on Father's Day. It's healthy for you to tell your wife you love her. And your husband, you love him. And I tell my wife, I'd marry her again. If I had it to do over, I'd marry her again. I was only 17 when I got married. In fact, I was a father of three little girls at the age of 20. And I do have one regret, and that is that I didn't get married sooner. Not younger, no. That was too young. But it's been beautiful. It's been heaven on earth. It's been a foretaste of heaven. And that's how God designs it to be. Sure, I could say, well, my wife knows I love her. I don't have to tell her. But words of affirmation are valuable, are precious, and important to build and maintain relationships. And there's other ways to tell your father and mother you love them besides saying, I love you. Indeed, there is. Always talk kindly to your father and your mother, and always talk kindly about your father and your mother in their absence when you're with the other young people or with some disrespectful young people and they're going on and on about how terrible their father and mother is. Take that as an opportunity to bless your father and mother in their absence. I want to tell you what, God hears them words and they'll get back to father and mother in one way or another. Yes, they will. And you will never regret that you spoke kindly of your father and mother to others. You'll never regret that. It might not put you in the in crowd. It might not make you like some others. But listen, if that's what it is to be like the others, you do not want to be like that. Never speak disrespectful about them. 1 Timothy 5:4, Paul tells Timothy, let them first learn to show piety at home. At home first. Piety there. Godliness there. Another way you can honor father and mother is to be grateful to father and mother. I know these are simple principles, but they're valuable principles and they are important. Express your appreciation and thank your father and your mother for all that they do for you. That's very important. Sometimes children complain so much that it might be like the one man or the one woman. She had a terrible rocky marriage, but she learned some things through some, I'm not sure, a book or a workshop she was at, and they told her to bless your husband and praise him. Praise your husband. They said it works. Okay. She liked that idea. Now she's in her 60s. She's an older lady. She's going to her reward now. But my wife was there in a workshop and heard this directly from her. She said, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try and praise him. Well, she couldn't find nothing to praise him for. It took her 3 days to find something. Finally, the third morning, he came down to the breakfast table with his hair combed for once. And she says, my, you look nice with your hair combed. And she said, literally, almost, he almost fell off the chair. He couldn't believe it, that she actually would say that to him. And you know what it did? It transformed that marriage that was rocky for many years into a most beautiful marriage. Simply they learned to thank and to praise and express appreciation for each other. What a blessing. Your parents do many things for you. They've set up many long nights. They've done things for you that you owe them. And you don't always realize it when you're little what all they're doing for you. Don't be like this generation of you owe it to me in the world today. People take so many godly principles and parents, for example, and they just feel the world owes everything to them. That's not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is that you learn to appreciate and show your gratefulness and thank your father and your mother for who they are and what they do for you. Thank them. You'll never be sorry for all the unending labors. Thank your mother for all the meals she cooks. Thank your father for bringing an income that you can have the things needful for life. Thank them when they let you do things that maybe you weren't sure, they weren't sure, but they did. They trusted you. They wanted to extend that trust in you. When you get home, I want you to thank them. Thank you, Dad, for letting me go. And maybe one day you'll come back and thank Dad for not letting you go. Then you'll see how detriment that would have been to you at that time to go. And maybe you'll come back after you grow up and learn some things that he knows that you don't, and you'll thank him for not letting you go. Talking to your father and your mother is one of the best ways to honor them. Sometimes when young people and children grow into adolescence, they get locked up. And I'm not saying that's always their fault. Many times that might be the parents' faults. And this might be more to fathers and mothers than it is to young people and children. We need to make sure that our children are free to always communicate with us about life and about all the things in their life and all the problems in their lives and all the things they face. And it's our responsibility as fathers and mothers to teach our children and young people about the development of life and of their bodies and about God's plan and will. If you don't, someone else will, and it might be way out of whack. But that really builds confidence in your children if you can do it in a right way. There's ways to do it in wrong ways. Indeed, there is. But make it easy for your children. There you know in Deuteronomy where it says, you shall talk about it on the way, you shall post it on the doorposts and all those things. And later down in that chapter it says, and when thy son in time to come, and when thy son asks thee, what meaneth this? Why this sprinkling of the blood? And why this Passover stuff? Why are we doing this? Which makes it evident there, it says, in these words that you teach diligently your children shall be in your heart. And when fathers have the living Christ in their heart and the burden and passion for their children that God wants them to have, they will freely communicate to their children and their children will ask them questions too. It's normal, as you read that chapter there, for your son to come and ask you what meaneth this. And try and keep that line open as best as possible. And sometimes that's more difficult for us fathers than it is for you mothers. Seems like mothers have a little bit better way into their children's heart here than fathers do sometimes. Sometimes us fathers struggle in knowing how to communicate to our adolescent sons and our teenage sons. But to you young people and children, talk to Daddy and Mom. Talk. They want you to talk. They want to hear your heart. Talk of your joys. Talk of your good times. Talk of your sadness. Talk of your disappointments. Whatever it is. God made us relational. He made us to be able to talk to one another. That's what God meant in Genesis when he said it's not good for the man to be alone. Adam in the garden saw God's beautiful creation of all these animals and birds with mates that they could relate to, but Adam didn't have no one to relate to. That's why he says, I'm going to make him a helpmate. I'm going to make him someone he can talk to. Someone he can share the blessings and the disappointments of his heart with. Communication is important. To do good and communicate, forget not, Hebrews 13 says. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And maybe it's a sacrifice, young people, for you to go and ask Mother, Mom, I don't understand something. What about this? Or Dad, could you tell me this? Or the young people were talking about this last night. What? And it was confusing to me. And what do you have to say, Dad? Young people, you can learn to do that and keep that communication free and open with your father and mother. It's one of the most effective and blessed ways to honor your father and your mother. words of affirmation. Honor your father and your mother and be considerate and sensitive to their feelings, especially when you have to take different ways in life. And I say this cautiously, but it is a reality in many of our lives. You might marry someone who comes from a home that did things different than what you did. And you're going to have to adjust in how you're going to do it in your new home. And it might not always be the way your daddy and mother did it. And it might not always be the way their daddy and mother did it. Sometimes, because of who you marry, you'll be joining another congregation. Things are different. Many things can be different sometimes. It's a blessing when there's not so much of a cultural difference. But when there is, I think God's grace has the ability that you can still relate and come home to your father and your mother and be blessed and honor them. Even though you might not always do what they've always done, I think you need to be considerate and sensitive to how they feel. Some young ones come home and they're cocky and they're, you know, we can do this now, we can do that, and it hurts daddy and mom. It does. It hurts. It's not healthy. It does not improve your God-designed relationship with your father and your mother. So be sensitive. That's a way we can all learn to honor our father and our mother. Be careful of their values, even when your values have changed somewhat. Now, I'm not saying that to give excuse that you can go out and do any old thing, but it does happen, especially when we marry into different settings. Honor your father and your mother by honoring all God-given authorities in your life, not just them. And that's good, and that is healthy. That maybe is one drawback of homeschooling. As much as I appreciate homeschooling, there could be one drawback where they maybe don't learn to respect other authorities like father and mother. And that's not always the case at all. No way. That's not true of every family. No way. I want to make myself clear on that. But you're going to have other authorities besides your father and mother in life. And one way you can honor your father and mother is to honor all those other authorities, whoever they may be. It may be the youth leader. And you went somewhere with him or with them. And when you come home and your youth leader comes to your father and your mother and says something like this: "We were just so blessed to have your son and your daughter with us last night. Their influence and their demeanor was such a blessing." Young people, you'll never know until you have children what that means to your father and mother. When you send your son and your daughter out to help, wherever it might be, on the farm, in the kitchen, with the aunt that's having a little one or whatever, and they come home and they say they were such good workers. And they did so well and they were so respectful. And they were so ready to help. But you know, when it's the other way, it's a burden to daddy and mommy. Yes, when you come home and they say, well, they're young now. I sure hope they can do better in the future. You know, that hurts father and mother. But when you can honor all other people, I'll just say people, not just authorities, people. The Bible says honor all men, 1 Peter 2:17. When you can honor all other people, it is a great joy to your father and your mother. Yes, it is. All those that God has placed in your life. You can honor your father and your mother by honoring your siblings. Do you hear this, young people and boys and girls? Honor your siblings. Relate well to your brothers and sisters. That's such a joy to daddy and mother. It's another way you can honor them. When you can be a good example to your brothers and sisters, when you can help steer situations in a right direction, and when we have a family of children doing things happen. And sometimes the unfolding of events is not always for the best. And it could be much better Especially one of the older children said, no, let's don't do that. Daddy and Mommy would not want us to do that. And when you can honor and respect your siblings and give them due recognition, it's a blessing to your father and your mother and to you. Indeed it is. Especially when you have, I'll say this to you young ladies, if you have a younger brother. Now, I had three girls first, and then we had a son, and we had two sons. There was nothing probably better for them boys than them three older sisters. I mean, they kept them straight. They were tremendous influence. They were good. They were really good for them. Not always, not in every circumstances, but as we look back now, there was a powerful influence on those boys' life by their older three sisters. And when you can be, when you, as a family member in your family, when you can be the one that makes the difference for good, it's a great honor to your father and your mother. Tremendous. If you would have a sibling that goes astray, there's probably nothing more powerful to bring that sibling back than you. You know that? Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. That's powerful. It's effective. It has influence. It does. I've seen it happen. Indeed it has. Well, I think we're going to bring this to a close here. I've said a lot. Praise is another thing to honor, is to praise your parents. The Bible says her children rise up and call her blessed in Proverbs 31. They rise up and call her blessed. Why? How? How do children learn that? Why do children learn to do that? What's the last part of the verse say? Can one of you brethren finish the verse? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Amen. Thank you. Her husband, they learn that from daddy. They learn to bless mother from daddy. Yes, they do. When he praises her, they learn to praise her and call her blessed. Call your mother blessed and your father. God bless each one of you. It's been so good to be here. Well, I've known Brother Mose here now for, I don't know how long, brother. I've been preaching for 43 years, so I don't know. We used to go to Massachusetts. At least 40. Massachusetts there and Boston with Ed Zerman and Levi Brubaker and some of them brothers and witness of the Harvard universities there. And it's just so good to see you again, Brother Mose and Sister Rhoda. And I regret my wife could not be here today, but it's been good. Bless you and keep you.
Thank you, brother. Your message stimulated my own thoughts and experiences in the past, both as a son in the home and also as a father to my son. Have you ever wished that you'd have another chance at it? You think about that sometimes. Yeah. I do. That I wish I could have even done it better than what I did. And yet, I'm very grateful for the experience I had and the support my dad gave me in the faith, even though he was in another church. And that meant a lot to me. It was a good experience. Well, thank you again for coming and sharing, and I hope that we can be friends until eternity. All right, we'd like to open it up. Anyone have anything to add or open? Just raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you and let you share. Yeah, life is a wonderful teacher if we open our ears to it. Yeah, it's over here with the James. Yeah, Nathan.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say amen to the message. I appreciate it. And it is certainly a lifelong or a foundational principle in the Word of God from the beginning to the end. And I can say it's been a blessing. to practice that in my life, though I wish I would have done more in honor to my father. And I'm also grateful for the honor that I have experienced already as a father, though a relatively young father. And I praise God for that. I want to have that testimony, as was mentioned, where someday, I know the years will pass by quickly, where I want my home to be such that my children will love to come back after they're gone. I want to take that challenge to heart, cultivate that kind of atmosphere in our home, that there'll be that pull there in time to come. So thank you again, brother.
Yes, I'd also like to thank and bless my father today for all that he has taught me and been to me. But I'd also like to say that there's been times where I haven't honored him, and I'd like to ask his forgiveness. And but I've also been reaping some of that in my life now, you know. As I get older, I understand it more and more, the value of honoring and blessing my father. But, you know, it's too late now for me. But I just like to say to the young people that now is the time. If you want to reap those blessings when you're older, honor and bless your father now.
Over here. Ken?
Yeah, I appreciate the message this morning, both messages. And the one thought of, I'm glad our brother explained a little bit about double honor. I appreciate that. I never saw it like that before. The honor because of the position, and then honor on top of that because of their faithfulness. And I appreciate that. And also want to bless my father this morning. And probably not too many times that I'll be able to be with him on Father's Day. But thank the Lord for it.
For me, it's a privilege to be able to sit here next to Brother Ed this morning. He came into my life when I was 14 at a very traumatic time in my life. And our brother shared about those that maybe don't have the privilege of having a godly father, a godly influence in their life, a father figure. And for me, God brought a number of men into my life that have been a tremendous influence in me to influence the direction of my life. And Brother Ed's one of them. And Paul writes that you have 10,000 instructors, but few fathers. And for 6 months, my family lived with Brother Ed's. And every morning, after June would prepare a breakfast for all 15 of us, we'd sit around the table. And after we were done, then we'd gather in the living room for family worship. And every morning, Brother Ed would lead out in family worship. And I didn't grow up in a home like that. I didn't have that experience before that. It was all new to me. But now today, God has blessed me with a family of my own. And, you know, for me, mistakes kind of stare you in the face when you're in the middle of it. But, yet I thank God for the privilege I have, the opportunity I have to give my children something that I didn't have. And so I just am, to me, it's a blessing. We got to spend some time together last night sharing And I'm just very thankful for Brother Ed and the influence that he had in my life as one of those father figures.
Over here.
I would just like to thank God that He works with us where we are, works with us where we are. This week I was grappling with something that I think comes from the fact that I didn't have a really ideal home situation. And every so often these things crop up, and I was grappling with it once again. Maybe I should have gotten over it before, but He met me where I was, and He took me to the next level. And I'm just thankful that no matter how old we are, He keeps working with us.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a blessing that He doesn't give up on us, but has had so much patience with us and continues to have as we find our way. But it's so important that we keep responding right and don't balk at that and back off and don't want to have that chastisement, as it was referred to there in Hebrews 12 this morning. That is, if God loves us, He'll chasten us betimes.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.